Blog Talk Radio.
Can you hear me okay?
Hello, this is Debbie Guy-Gish, Principal and Chief Revenue Officer for the Pedowitz Group, and welcome to Ignite, the Demand Generation Series for the B2B Marketer. This innovative educational series brings you ideas, insights, and techniques that you can apply immediately to help improve your own demand generation efforts. So welcome to the show today. I want to let everybody know I recently completed an 11-city roadshow as part of the Online Marketing Summit tour. And through the summer, we had the opportunity to meet close to 2,000 marketers. And I will tell you, the biggest buzz that we had in every single session was all around social media. People want to know what it is, they want to know how to use it, and they absolutely want to know how to measure it. That's why I'm so excited today to have Michael Thomas of Neighborhood America with us. And let me tell you a bit about Michael. He's a good friend of mine, but he's also director of CRM at Neighborhood America, which is a very cool social media company you'll find out more about during our interview today. Michael is also national president of the CRMA Association, and he has a 20-year history of helping companies really use technology to drive a business result, having worked for companies like ADP, Oracle, and PeopleSoft. Today, his role at Neighborhood America is to help CRM companies embrace and leverage social media so that they also can make a measurable impact. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Debbie.
It's such a pleasure to have you with us. I mean, as I mentioned in my introduction, 11 cities, 2,000 marketers, and I will tell you, the single hottest topic that everybody wanted to talk about was all about social media. So why don't we start and have you tell us a little bit about Neighborhood America and the value proposition.
Okay. Well, Neighborhood America provides social media technology and strategies to companies that really want to extend their online presence. And they want to extend this presence to reach and engage their audience, whether they're customers, partners, stakeholders, or employees. And the founding story of Neighborhood America has a lot to do with the way the country has communicated and changed communications by first focusing on, you know, government and people that come together to discuss land use, property, things like that, to collaborate and make, you know, joint decisions. And so this led to an application that allowed them to do that. And that was the first foundation of Neighborhood America, but unfortunately 9/11 happened, and out of that came a need to collaborate even more. And so Neighborhood America was instrumental in powering the site for Imagine New York for people to discuss the site for the World Trade Center. And they also powered the site for Flight 93 Memorial to determine what would go there. So that's where it grew out. And now it's more into the commercial world and allowing companies to extend their reach to their audience.
Well, that's an incredible story. And I had heard that about the growth of Neighborhood America before. But why don't you tell us, give us an example. I mean, you know, one of the things that people really want to know are, what are some practical ways that you see social media being put into practice to make a difference in a business? Maybe you can give us an example or two of some projects that Neighborhood America has been involved in.
Yes, I guess one of the most popular ones, Scripps TV, Rate My Space, that originally started with Scripps coming to us saying they wanted to get more ad space basically in front of the web visitors, right? So we developed a site for them for people to upload remodeling their homes, bedrooms, garages, kitchens, things like that. And it's just simple. They upload, people view, people vote on it, people make suggestions. It's kind of its own little network of people working together, contractors and designers. And each time they click, of course, you know, there's ads that are relevant based off of tags, words, keywords, that allow them to push the right content to people that are visiting them. Now, this was great. I mean, you go there now and you see that the community has gone into another direction to where not only do they do the basic remodeling, but now they have categories like male dorm rooms, female dorm rooms, landscape swimming pools, things like that. So the community moderates and keeps that flow going. But the big thing that came out of this that I don't think anyone really thought about at the beginning was now there is a Rate My Space TV show that was created based on the popularity of the website. Now, I don't know how many of you out there know that how much it costs to create a TV show, but that was a significant benefit to have the community push them in the direction of where they wanted to go. And so now when you go to Scripps TV and you see Rate My Space, you know it came from the website.
I've actually been on Rate My Space, and I actually have a room I've got to put on Rate My Space. And I've also seen the TV show, and I think that's just a great example. And it really, the growth was not quite anticipated that it was going to be so much, but it really hit a nerve with people. And again, it was a great way to collaborate no matter where you were. So I think that's a great example.
Right.
One of the things I heard you talk about, Michael, was ad space. Is that the primary way people are getting an ROI in their social media today?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the whole movement from, you know, Web 1.0, static web pages, to, you know, Web 2.0, more collaboration, is to be able to do that. People want to extend their site to not just be one way, to make it bi-directional, to engage their audience in many different ways. And so it's not replacing your website. It's just making it more collaborative, and which is what everyone's trying to do now. There's a lot of reasons for that, Debbie. I mean, one reason is that if you go out there and go to Google any problem or, you know, issue with a Sony PlayStation or issue with a cable service, you're going to find out that people out there are talking, and they're not talking favorably about certain companies. So companies are saying, look, we want to embrace this conversation. We want to facilitate it. I mean, good, bad, or indifferent. And because they're going to talk about you, you might as well, you know, create a non-biased area where they can do that, and you can help improve what's not being done, or, you know, or learn from it. I mean, you can learn a lot from your customers. So people are using it now to just engage. That's the key word, a bidirectional conversation back and forth with their customers, stakeholders, partners, and employees.
I really like one of the things that you said, and that is people are really using social media to learn from their customers.
Right.
Give me some examples of what you've seen.
Here's a great example I like to use, and unfortunately we can't claim this technology, although we could provide it, but Procter & Gamble is a great story. They have a number of communities. They have one community that is called Vocal Point, and that's a community of 600,000 moms. They have a community called Tremor, which is a community of about 250,000 teens. And what they do with these two groups is they learn. With the moms, not only are they learning, but they're also passing out ideas, use text messaging, diet tips, keeping kids busy, things like that. And the teens, they're trying to find out what kind of music they like, what kind of fashion, and that way they can tailor their products toward it. So the whole goal of this, the customer ecosystem that P&G trying to do, is they want by the year 2011 for 50% of their products to come from the community. I mean, that's significant and that's huge. When you think about 50% of that R&D coming from people that are telling you what they want. Now, there's a better story behind that. When you do that, their product launch is 80% successful. As opposed to the normal product launches are always 30%. So they know right away that it's going to be accepted because the people are telling them what they want and how they want it.
I think that's a great story. One of the things that I've noticed in the conversation that we've had so far, it seems to be fairly B2C focused. Maybe
right.
We can switch a little bit and talk about how social media works for the B2B marketer.
Well, I think when you talk about B2B, there's a lot of companies, especially software companies or any company, they engage partners, right, or suppliers. And I think now being able to collaborate with them the same way, to update them on new products, to update them on discounts, to find out what problems they're having, this is now a way to get everybody on the same page, push the same message out, and to be able to learn more about what's out there because the partners are the feet on the street. When you look at an enterprise social work network for employees, let's say your company, you have a lot of human intellectual capital there, right? And sharing this information, sharing your network, sharing these stories will benefit your company in the long run. I mean, the Gen Xers, right? They're slowly moving out, and that's a lot of information that's moving out with it. So being able to harness that capital to be able to leverage it and to grow it, whether you're onboarding new employees, is very important to your business to extend, because that information can walk out the door one way or the other.
I've also seen a number of our clients at the Pettawitz Group actually have begun to create online communities where they could, for example, I have one client that's a global supply chain company, and it's a global IT business services company, and their clients really wanted best practices shared across the globe. So they have set up that community for their B2B customers to network and to talk with one another. And, of course, what they learn about what's important to their client base is really just incredible. So we're seeing a number of companies taking social media and using it to build online communities so they can create peer-to-peer networking so people can use those products, those services better than they have before.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, if you don't, companies now, this is not one of the early adopter type things. This is something that's a vital piece. It's not a separate piece. It's a portion of your marketing plan to include this. And companies that are not embracing this are really going to miss out on a great opportunity to learn and engage and act upon what their audience is telling them.
Michael, let me ask you this question. Again, this is more for the B2B marketer. If you were a B2B marketer, and you keep hearing social media, social media, social media, how would you go out and educate yourself, and kind of what would be your step one, step two, step three?
Gosh, I tell you what, there's a lot of information out there, and you got to weave through the right information. You know, every company, whether it's a CRM company or whatever, can claim to have social media tools, but when you look at it, it's not really focused on social media. It has a social media aspect. There really is no clear definition because there's many components of social media, whether it's you know, technology talk or it's a strategy talk. So, you know, to me, I look at situations that are out there. You know, one of the best books I've read on it is called Groundswell by Forrester, Charlene Lee, one of the Forrester analysts. And that, to me, really captures what it's all about. And puts it into understandable bites that you can implement without changing things. I mean, it's a big change for a lot of companies to think this way. I mean, they're communicating now, Debbie, but they don't understand the tools that allow them to extend that communication. So I look at it as, you know, I educate myself through that. You can always, you know, Gartner's getting involved with it. I was at a conference 3 weeks ago, and every session that I sat in on discussed social media and how to implement that in a CRM world. So the information's out there. I mean, we do a lot of educational type things, and strategy. We focus on strategy even though we provide the technology. We just don't want people to go out and buy the technology without understanding why, just like past CRM failures, right?
Exactly. And so let me ask a follow-on question to this. So, you know, we've really been working with social media, I would say, a lot. Or it really has caught on, I would say, in the last 18 months to 2 years. What have we learned from our early forays in social media that we can apply as we take a look at social media strategies for our companies?
Well, I think there's a couple of things you need to look at. You have to be honest with your audience. You can't say you're setting up a social media or social network, but you control the content. Or that you say you're going to allow them to speak their voice, and if they speak a voice that's not favorable to your company, you're going to eliminate that or moderate that out. I think you have to be honest. You have to be intentional about why you want to do this. This is what I want to get out of this. This is what you're going to get, and this is what we're going to get. And so I think you have to look at those different components because people will see right through it. If you say it's a, you know, if you have a community and they see that it's being moderated, and they're going to understand it and they're going to leave. And then companies have to be open to change. It is something that's different to allow a different world to allow your customers to, you know, to really go out there and give honest feedback. I mean, you have forums now, right? This is not new. Forums have been around for a long time. So people that don't think that they're not doing social media and they have forums out there, on their, maybe on their customer service side, that's a part of social media. But it's a matter of letting customers help each other. So you got to be open to change. You got to be honest, and you got to be intentional about why you're doing this. So I think those are 3 points I think to do. And don't turn it on and walk away from it. It has to be, you have to have some sort of moderation with it. You have to have people engaged in it, whether you even incent them in some certain way, not really monetarily, but people, there are different people that do different things in a social community. You have to find out what's best for your group of people. Are they going to be creators of this information? Do they want to be critics? Do they want to collect it? Now, there's different groups to look at, and there's this ethnographic profile that's discussed in Groundswell that explains those categories.
I think that's excellent advice. And again, if I was going to say we've learned anything over the last 2 years, it's really honesty and transparency, because
right.
People are just too smart. And they can tell if you're not being sincere and if they're using that information in a way that is unexpected. So I think that's really, really great advice. Well, let me ask you another question, and this is into an area, one of my favorite topics, and what's happening with mobile social networking?
You hit up on one of my favorite spots, too. I tell you what, years ago when they said, the second screen was the computer screen or the laptop, right? Now the third screen is the mobile device. Think about how, let's say you walk out of your house and you may forget, your wallet or something, but if you forget your phone, you know it right away, right? So one of the things is people are carrying this with them. There are over 250 million users of this, and it's growing. It's another way to reach the audience. And just as email marketing, reach, you get a 1% return if you do that. Well, mobile marketing, you can get even like 3, 4, 5% because it's a pretty close opt-in. I mean, people really intend, if they want to opt-in, it's quick messages, whether you're sending information out or websites or ringtones or directing them to other sites. But it's the next wave. Look at kids and how they interact with the texting. And it's just a quick and inexpensive way to reach your customers, something that everybody carries with them.
I completely agree, and I have two examples. We have two clients. One is a technology that actually provides, you can access all your banking information over your mobile device,
right,
which is really cool. No matter where you are, you can check your balances, you can make, transfer money. Very, very, very useful. And again, that's for the soccer mom all the way up to the busy executive.
Right.
And then the other mobile application that we've seen recently is really more of this is more to B2C, but really is with in the sports vertical. So, for example, we recently did a campaign where the opt-in subscribers got a phone message from their very favorite NBA player, and that
right.
was followed up with a SMS text message to their device, and our open rates were just through the roof, as were ticket sales.
Right.
So, again, just another example of how, with mobility, because that's the way the world is going, what you can do. And, again, I think in the mobility world, we may be a little bit slower in B2B, but I still think there's going to be a big impact in that area as well.
I think, for instance, personally, I get Borders book coupons through the mobile device, which, I used to get the email. I used to print them out, but I was forgetting them, leaving them on the printer. Debbie, how that happens. And when I went to the store once, they said, hey, just sign up for the text messages. So I go, I get the text messages, and all I have to do is just show that message or that keyword to the person that's checking me out, and I get my discount. I mean,
that's awesome. I'm gonna have to do that because I do the same thing.
Yeah, it's huge. So you look at, you look at video rental, anything like that. Even now, we have the capability to, let's say you're a hotel, and we can put in a Bluetooth box, and the Bluetooth box will just, if you walk in there and you have your Bluetooth device, it'll send you a message saying, hey, do you want to opt in to special attractions or special, a free appetizer at a restaurant or anything while you're at your stay, and that's a quick opt in or out. If you don't want to do it, you just say no. But if you do, you can get, you can interact with your customers that way. And not only that, at that moment, you can have subsequent offers to them once they leave. So when you look at the case of having a Bluetooth, that technology, think about malls. You're walking by the store, all of a sudden it picks you up. Hey, we got a special here. So it's going to open it up to a lot of things. Now, the one thing we have to focus on is the FTC, it still has not decided how they're regulating it. I mean, they met in May. They're still trying to figure out how they're going to do this because there's still, you know, spam approaching, you know, children, certain content. So that's to come. But I don't think it's gonna change it too much. But that's a good thing, right?
I love the walking past the mall and you get a message type thing. Absolutely,
right.
Absolutely love that. Or using your mobile device, your phone, your BlackBerry, point it at a Coke machine and get a Coke.
Absolutely.
I don't want my kids
to have that, but
right, exactly. But it's here. I mean, these technologies are absolutely here, and it is definitely changing how we interact with our customers. No question about that.
Absolutely.
Well, let me ask you the $64 million question.
Uh-oh.
How do you see people measuring the impact of social media? Because that's one place where I found a lot of people were struggling. They can do it. They can do kind of these fun, innovative things. But at the end of the day, you've got a marketing spend. Someone asked you to justify that. How do you justify your spend on social media?
Well, I'll say right now, I think that is the new frontier. You know, you have it all, but so what and how can you tell? I have numerous conversations on a weekly basis that's great and all, but how can I tell by somebody coming to my social network and they're clicking around, how can I tell if it's going to be a lead? Or, you know, upsell, cross-sell, how do I know this? Now, you know, what I'm doing, my discussions are around being able to, you know, power the links up with trackable links, right, just like you guys work with customers on doing, because that tells you, let's say someone's looking in a social network under ratings for their product, and if someone clicks on that for a certain product and they click on the ratings and read, you know, click on a couple of the ratings, that shows if they're interested in buying, right? And if they go then to the shopping cart or then to more about this information, that's giving you some statistics that you can use. If you take that statistics of their clicks and you match it up with their profile, and now you're getting some analytics around it. Now, that sounds nice, but it's still in its very early stages, Debbie, and that's why I think the biggest impact you're going to see in the next 12 to 18 months is more analytics around that, because people say, okay, I'll build this now, and people are interacting, but I got to get something out of it. How is it going to tell me? What is it telling me? So that's a great question, and I tell you what, we're focused on trying to find the right formula for that.
Well, it sounds like when you introduce social media into a company, there is a fair amount of change that has to take place.
Right.
How you view your customers, how you interact with your customers, the transparency that you have with your customers, the technology. I mean, there's a lot of things that have to come together for social media to be successful.
Yes.
And I recently interviewed someone on the measurable impact of marketing, and one of her comments to me on measurement was, just measure anything and just keep asking yourself, can I do better, can I do better, can I do better, and just keep pushing the envelope on that. And I get the sense that's where most of us are with social media, unless we already have everything all knit together. Unless we already have those trackable scripts that are maybe, you know, telling us information about people so that we can do automatic responses to them, or if it's time to pick up the phone. But I think it's just a new day, and I feel, and I'd like your opinion on this, that people need to have this, what I call round one experience with social media, and then they really need to worry about how they're going to get the ROI, because they can't figure out an ROI a lot of times in early days, because everything that they're doing around social media is a hypothesis. Until you get in there and implement it and see how customers are reacting, see what they're about, I think it's just hard to guesstimate how and what ROI would come from in the world of social media.
I think, too, you think about you're opening your doors to them. You know, why not just go out and ask them, right? How would you like to comment on this? And a lot of people, they go out and buy everything, right? They go buy blogs, they buy blogs, you know, RSS feeds, they buy forums, everything. And then they just sit there and wait for it to happen. How about bringing in some of your customers, show them these devices, let them help you design around it, because that's who you're going after. So, and then how can, you know, get their opinions on what they do and how they do it. That helps you get on the right road to analyzing what people are doing and how to get a return on it. So it's kind of simple when you think about it. I mean, bring them in.
I completely agree with that. It's a novel concept. Ask your customer.
Right.
Okay. Final question.
Okay.
I'm a B2B marketer, And my CEO has said, hey, we got to get on board with this social media thing. What do I do?
Okay, well, you know what? You take a look at what you're doing now. If you're doing anything along the lines of that, you go out and you look at what type of customer, you profile your customer. You make sure you match that profile up with, you know, a technographic profile on these people in this certain area are more prone to read blogs, comment on blogs, write on blogs, and you have to match it up that way. So there's some research behind it. You have to do the right thing to understand your audience based on the product you're selling. And then bring in a group, do a study group on how this works. Roll it out slow. Give ownership to some people because you got to have people to make comments. You have to have people to moderate it. So, you know, it's not going to be something. Do a conference room pilot to see how it works, right? And I think that way you do it in bits and pieces, but you don't try to, you know, the boil the ocean effect, right? If you have a distinct, this is what I want to do. I want to raise more sales, or I want to have better customer service, or I want to have better research and development. You got to find out which one of those, why you're doing this in the first place. So go ahead, Dick.
I was going to say, is that the kind of consulting that Neighborhood America might help with, or would that be somebody else?
Well, yeah, we do a lot of that. I mean, we just don't, you know, we have the application, and that's something that we're proud of. Yes, we have it, but, I mean, why are you doing this? And we have this document we call the Community Blueprint, and we use this for our internal social network, on sitting down at each point and explaining why you're doing this, how you're going to get it done, what do you expect from it, right? How will you know when you get it back? And this is just an operation that we recommend everyone go through, whether you go through it with us or another social media consultant. But, you know, technology alone is not going to do it. It's same old thing, and that's why, you know, the same old mistakes that were made in CRM are being made now if you don't invoke the right mix of people, process, and technology.
So, Michael, is this Community Blueprint available on the Neighborhood America website as a white paper, or is it available as part of your paid services? Because it sounds like a really intriguing document.
Well, we have it, and we like to walk through this with customers. I mean, we did this Coffee and Clarity event where we went through it, and we gave them all a copy of it, right? Well, I got more calls about, I like this, but I want to go through what you guys did in that exercise. So we're like, well, fine, we can set up strategy meetings to do that. So it is now a strategy that we can put out there that we can go out there and do with the customer. I mean, yeah, the blank form is fine, but to be able to walk through with people who have done this over and over and over again, that's where the value is. So, yeah.
I completely agree because it is a new world for marketers, and there are so many things that as marketers we have to try to understand and try to knit together. So any way that you can find blueprints and have professional work with you on that blueprint, it really just collapses your time to competency. So instead of you trying to get out there and figure it out all by yourself, which could take no telling how long, you know, to work with a consultant who has been there and done that before and can help you map out and help you really think through the gotchas, because in the early stages, you simply don't know what you don't know.
Well, Debbie, I could say, too, you know, I think you and I both have discussed this in the past. People that are in those positions at large companies, they are so focused on certain things. They don't know a lot of these new technologies that are out there. They don't have time, right? And so, you know, take the time to bring somebody in to explain them to you. It's not like you don't know it. It's just that the technology has changed, but the message is still the same, right? You gotta market, you gotta sell, and you gotta service. So, you know, take that time instead of trying to do it yourself or just throwing something out there. So I'm all for that.
Absolutely. Now, Michael, if our listeners want to find out more about Neighborhood America, where would they go?
Well, we can go to our website, www.neighborhoodamerica.com. We have a number of interactive things out there that they can download. Also, they can contact me at mthomas@neighborhoodamerica.com. I'll be more than happy to have that discussion with you, show you what we have, and you know, discuss strategy around it.
Well, Michael, thank you so much. You have been great to talk to. Thank you for sharing with us your insights and your ideas about where we are with social media today and where it'll go and where it's going in the future. So thank you.
Thank you for having me, Debbie. And anytime you need anything, you know where to find me.
Okay, Michael. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.